Hey guys, welcome back to Esthetician on the Edge, the podcast. Okay, look, I know I abandoned ship, but your Esty mama, she was burnt all the way the fuck out. Ain't nobody wanting me to reply to some of those whiny ass comments in the mood that I was in before I signed off. I'm telling you, if I had had one more person tell me how unprofessional I was being, you know, on a meme account, I was gonna reach through my phone and snatch a bitch up. I'm okay now, I think. I've decided to not be the better bitch and respond exactly how I feel or think or how I want to every comment that I see on any of my socials. I don't get paid for this shit anyway, so who the fuck cares? Okay, so let's go ahead and get into today's show. And a little thing about the format of today's show. I am going back to talking about several topics. You guys were big mad about the one and done topic format that I tried for a hot second. So yeah, we're just going to kick it back old school. So in this week's episode, I thought we'd talk about the decline in quality of trade show and skincare conferences. Someone else sent me a bunch of topics, one of them being what are your favorite brands, also how to navigate post-procedure complications. I think it was Maddie Marie 7 that sent me those topic ideas. Thank you, girl. I'm going to cover some of those. You gave me a lot, so I'll be getting to the rest of them. And I'm going to share some weird med spa experiences since the last time I did one of these. Gosh, I think I was still in like the foo-foo relaxing type of spa the last time we talked. And I'm going to tell you, it is a whole crazy ass other world in the solidly medical spectrum of things. The first thing I wanted to talk about were skincare. I don't even know if they call them trade shows now. But the skincare trade shows is what I've always called them, or conferences. Are y'all going to them? Because I got to be honest, I had not been to a show since, it was years before COVID. And then after COVID, I was reluctant to give it a go because, well, I'm really not a people person. Crowds make me mad. That's the only way to say it. Crowds make me angry. I get like road rage angry. What would you call that? Can't be road rage. Aisle rage. Like just trying to get through those things. I'm so mad. So I've opted out of going to anything for years. But I have a lovely friend who talked me into attending one that was fairly close. And she's always fun to hang out with regardless. So I was like, sure, let's road trip this. And see what there is to see. Now, one of the biggest selling points of the whole thing was a promise of advanced education and tons of, you know, expert panels. I gotta tell ya, I'm a sucker for learning new stuff. You should always be learning in this industry. Something will pop up that will make you change your mind and your stance constantly. So yeah, teach me new things. I like to hear new stuff. I like to hear people talk about things that they are very knowledgeable in and that they are passionate about. So yeah, say less. Let's go. We get there. You know, it's, I could tell we'd probably made a mistake immediately. Immediately. Abort, abort. The market. For me, the market is where they hawk their goods, right? The market is definitely smaller than I was expecting or hoping for. The vendors that were in the market, they aren't really anything that I'm super interested in, with the exception of maybe two tables, maybe. We check in at the registration table and my friend asks about the location of a panel that is currently going on because unfortunately we couldn't get there, or fortunately, looking back, we could not get there until day two. With a fully straight face, the person that's working the registration table looks at us and says, I don't know, you probably know as much as I do at this point. Okay, then. This is not a promising start for the organization of this event if you can't point me in the direction of the only panel that should be taking place in that moment. By the way, if you're curious, it was located about 400 feet away from that very table. Gosh. Now, I don't want to bog you down in details, but it was a disappointing experience all around for both of us. The classes that we were both stoked about, Basics. Shit, you should have learned the first month that you were in aesthetic school. There really, truly was not a single advanced skill or discussion to be found. The live demonstrations that I attended, you know, it wasn't anything outside what all of us do in a room daily. I think we went to, like, one was a waxing. And if you do Brazilians, yeah, I don't see how you would have learned anything from that demonstration. It was nothing special, just a regular Brazilian. The skincare companies that put on classes, I'm not kidding, basic knowledge. Like, the things that they were talking about was like the difference between a pustule and a papule, that type of thing. And don't get me wrong, I do understand that like a class, it must start at a starting point, right? But we were four slides into this class and we were still talking about the causes of acne. I didn't need the review, nor did my friend. You might be thinking, what a selfish bitch you are. Maybe other people did need that. Okay, valid, but it was supposed to be advanced classes. So no, technically they shouldn't need the basics retaught to them. I teach advanced classes. I teach microneedling and I teach dermaplaning classes to estheticians who have graduated and are licensed. I make a point of telling my students, hey, you know what? This is an advanced class. We are not spending an hour talking about the structures of the skin or how the skin operates or how the hair, the structure of the hair, or how the hair operates. You should have learned that in school. I'm here to teach you a skill and to teach you how to talk about that skill with your client and to understand the ramifications of using that skill when you are in a treatment room. I'm not going to be padding my class with basic information just to make it look like you're getting more value. You're not, because you should already know this stuff. Also, when you go to advanced classes, do me a solid, you guys. Do me a solid. I know we are all different learner types. I know. I get it. I understand. Stop taking pictures of slides. 99% of you will never, ever, not once, ever look at them again. And when you do, or if you do, you will have no context for what the hell that slide was about. It is a terrible, lazy way to take notes. Write that shit down. I heard chatter from the other attendees that they also were slightly disappointed that the depth and scope that they hoped to see presented wasn't. We talked to one gentleman in particular who also was a veteran in the industry, and he was feeling the same vibe we were, that it had kind of been misrepresented a little bit. We ended up leaving earlier than planned. We were going to stay there for the last day completely because they had a lot of things planned. But we spent the car ride home wondering if, I don't know, maybe we were being too hard on them. And maybe we were. Maybe our expectations are just too damn high. But I'll tell you, the last good show that I went to, and like I said, it was a different industry back then. It was years ago. It was really, really good. They had lots and lots of interesting vendors, and they were there with equipment. They were there with products. Plus, there were vendors there for the little things like, hey, have you seen this new headband? Hey, have you seen these new drapes with this new material? Hey, here's this spa music playlist. Hey, here's whatever the hell you need for your med spa, massage, therapy, nails, whatever. They had everything. So it was fun to walk around and see some things that I might not have actually paid any attention to unless they were in this setting. And the panels, they were actual expert panels. These were people that were experts in the field that they were speaking about. It was not people that own a company that sells XYZ who were promoting XYZ or promoting their own verbal and coaching skills as a product. I do like unbiased discussions. I like to hear about specific ingredients. I like to hear how those ingredients are used in advanced protocols or how you can bastardize a protocol and make it more effective. There is a place in our industry for coaching and paid mentoring. Some people, they thrive using those types of programs. They need that leadership. But that's when you have a coaching panel specifically and you present it as such. Like this, like in room 401, this is what we have. We have a panel of experts. They could be talking about acne. They could be talking about acne in their PCOS clients. And then in room 402, You have a panel of expert career coaches that are looking to help build your brand and your client base with their proven methods. You too can be a six-figure whatever the fuck you want to be. And then in Room 403, we have a panel that's breaking down various techniques for, I don't know, back waxing. But each of those panels tell me what I'm getting into. It's not a slimy sales pitch in the middle. You know what I mean? I don't want to hear a sales pitch when I'm learning. I really don't. It takes away any kind of sincerity for me. It takes away any kind of credibility if you're selling me a product while I'm trying to learn something. Because how do I know that your data is not skewed so that your sales are better? You know what I mean? Just teach me. I don't want a sales pitch. If you've presented your information well enough, I'll probably come find out what you use and how you use it and where I can get it if you sell it. Maybe I'm just too jaded for conferences now. I don't know. Or maybe the industry has just changed that much that we're more about how influential the speakers are instead of how much of an expert they actually are in skincare. You know what I mean? What are your thoughts on the trade shows now? Are the glory days gone or am I just a picky bitch? Look, if you guys hear you probably hear it. Hold on, I'll get quiet. You hear that? So my picky ass cat has now decided to eat, and she's only doing it because she knows I'm doing something that requires quiet. But I'm not going to stop recording, so you're going to hear that lovely sound throughout in the background. Sorry, not sorry. Okay, so let's talk about how to navigate post-procedure complications. I cannot scream this loud enough. Consent forms, people, consent forms. Have them, store them, never, ever, ever lose them. And you know what? Funny, funny thing how the universe works. Funny, not funny, but funny. I was recording this and I had a horrible, y'all, I'm telling you, horrible complication. Post-procedure complication from a laser hair removal session. So I thought, yeah, this will work out well. I can tell them firsthand how I handled this situation. Yeah, you know I'm transparent. I fuck up, I'm going to tell you. And I fucked up. I'd like to say I made this up, but I promise y'all I did not make this shit up. It happened. As I say, it's like the universe was telling me to tell this story in this episode. So I had a client who came in. I don't know. It might have been her third, fourth, fifth, something. IPL, we were doing IPL hair removal and we've had really good results, no issues at all. Kind of like an ideal client, doesn't tan or she's not tanning currently. She's at FITS 3. To my knowledge, she's been very compliant. And I say hello, you know, I let her shimmy out of her pants, popped back in and ask, as I'm snapping on gloves, kind of unconcerned because it's just general conversation. You know, I ask how everything went after her last session. And that was about 6 weeks ago, 6 or 7 weeks ago. And she says, as she's sitting there, oh, I had a burn, and got my attention immediately, of course. And she whips out her phone to show me. Oh, it was the most. Oh. I get sweaty thinking about it. The most horrific big ass block. Y'all, it was a block. Like a candy bar size block of overtreated skin. Like it was awful. Like holy ball sack. It was awful. Somehow I managed to act normally, you know, ask her questions about it, which I was also horrified by her responses, but I didn't act like it. And then I proceeded to go forward with her next session. Like, didn't want to. I did not go over the areas that had been burnt previously, which I had explained to her. Of course, my settings were so conservative. I might as well have just been using a flashlight instead of a laser. Oh. My asshole was clenched so tight, y'all. I was watching that skin for anything. Looking at her face, like, hey, it's a terrible feeling. It's a terrible feeling. Now, the burn, it was my fault completely. I had obviously overtreated the area. Maybe I'd gotten a bit too cocky in what her skin could take because we'd not had any issues She'd had amazing results. And when they say they can't feel something, your knee-jerk reaction is to increase your energy, right? So maybe that's what happened. I don't know. You know, we don't know. But something somewhere at some point, it went wrong. I'll tell you, I was at a perfect clinical endpoint at the end of the service. Nothing looked suspect at all, which with the severity of what I saw in her picture, it should have looked really fucking wrong. Like, she should have had flesh gone. It just looked bad, y'all. It looked so bad. Like, talking about it now, I'm like, God damn, that looked bad. Fuck. That she did tell me that, like, while we were talking, while I was doing the laser, you know, I was still asking her questions here and there. She did tell me that she was burny when she left, but that doesn't necessarily indicate a burn, because they do sometimes feel like they have a sunburn, and that's normal. That's something that we tell them to look for, and then it's normal so that they don't freak out. One of the things we tell them is not normal is if, while we're treating, if the heat is building. And the only way to describe that is, like, if you've ever burnt your finger, like on a stovetop or on, you know, the coil in your oven, there's like that immediate, like, holy shit, where you pull your hand back and then it kind of evens out the heat. But then the longer you stand there, the heat builds and it gets hotter and hotter and hotter. You know, that's going to burn. It's going to blister and burn. So we tell our clients, like, look for that. That's not what we want. That's absolutely not what we want. And as you know, some people think more is better. Some people won't be honest in their responses. But usually the skin tells the tale. Now, I'm not saying that that is what happened, that she was on fire and just didn't tell me. I'm not saying that. But something went south somewhere, which gave us our complication post-procedure. Now, if you want to be really surprised, this girl never, ever, ever reached out about the burn. And my God, if I could post a picture of this burn, y'all would be like, what? She didn't? I would have been in the emergency room. Surprisingly, she never reached out. She didn't. And also, surprisingly, she did not treat the burn. She put nothing on it. Nothing. She was toughing it out. I don't know why she thought she had to tough it out. It was a conversation we have. If you blister or you burn, these are the things that you should do, right? But she chose not to treat it. So you can imagine it did not heal as quickly as it would if she had taken care of it, nor did it heal as well as it could have. I will say, as a pat on my back and trying to find something positive in this whole shit show of a situation, my pattern, chef's kiss, let me tell you. That's terrible in it. Like, I've got a really good pattern going on. Like, I give full coverage if the discoloration that was left behind is anything to go by. Now, all of that leads me to how we manage post-procedure complication. And for this particular client, I did not have zero input in the healing process. But I will walk you through what should have happened. Number one, after learning of the burn, what I would have done is I would have asked her to either send me a picture of the area or ideally come in and let me check and see how bad the damage is. Number two, after I saw it, I would have sent her home with an occlusive healing ointment of some kind, whatever you like. And also, depending on the severity of the burn. Aquaphor is great. Aquaphor is great at speeding up healing. It occludes, gives the skin a chance to do its job. Great. Wonderful. You can also use this product. I don't know how many of you have ever heard of the company, but it's called Membrane. I think they deal mostly with, like, tattoo, maybe. But I found them by accident because y'all know I'm a shit waxer. I might have pulled somebody's skin and I was looking for a product to heal it. And I found them. Love their brand, love their packaging, everything. They sell, like, little peel packets so that you don't have to sell a bottle. You can, like, it's great. But they have this stuff called Microbalm. Cannot recommend it enough. It heals anything. They have before and afters of what it can do for burns. Fucking amazing. Like, amazing. I always recommend it for anyone that works with lasers or anything like that. And of course, you can always do old school colloidal silver if the wound isn't seeping or open. Now, as we know, there are some studies that say maybe silver actually prolongs the healing of a wound. I don't know how you feel about that. I don't know your school of thought with that. I have used it in the past. I know a lot of nurses that use it, like nurses and injectors, that don't have a problem with it. So I guess it's just whatever your school of thought is on that. But there are products out there that you can send a client home that will help and speed and make the wound better when it's healed. Now, after initial healing, step three, after your initial healing, I'd have her come in to reevaluate if we maybe need to look at options to fix anything left behind. And when I say that, what I'm talking about is post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation or, God forbid, loss of tissue, which can happen. That for me would equate to like this particular client has hyperpigmentation left. Like I said, I can see the pattern that I did on her. She's young, so I'm not super concerned that that's going to be an issue. But what I will do once we're finished with all of her treatments and she has the results that she wants, if there is still an issue with PIH, I will of course offer her free products. I will offer her free IPL treatments to lighten the area for her, you know, for hyperpigmentation. If what you have done has caused a loss of tissue at that point, you could offer microneedling sessions until, you know, you have some collagen built back up, or you could do filler for a quick immediate fix. From a business standpoint, we want that client to not talk shit about us, right? To not leave a bad review and continue, if you like the client, to be a valued client for you. On a human level, you guys, I just want to fix it because it's the right thing to do. Also, don't blame the client. It happens a lot in the aesthetics world. We are so quick to blame the client. Were they on a retin? Were they doing this? Sometimes shit happens and it's not their fault. Of course, unless it is. Now, if you know it's their fault, that's completely different. You're still going to have to fix it unless you want a bad reputation, but also then it's not completely your fault. Now, could I toss some of the blame my client's way for what happened? Sure, I totally could. I know for a fact she wore skinny jeans into her appointment. They're very tight, so rubbing and irritation could have exacerbated the situation. I even commented on how uncomfortable she was going to be. She also did not inform me that the heat was building to an uncomfortable point. And I'll tell you, if you don't know a lot about laser, although it's not a facial, it's not a great experience, it's not relaxing, IPL is not supposed to be awful. It's one of the reasons we don't numb our client is so that a client can tell us their comfort level. We want our clients to clue us in to what they're feeling because sometimes our safe settings don't work and the skin's reaction might be delayed. So we can't always evaluate what the skin's doing in time. And as I mentioned, another thing, she did tell me at this appointment, like the appointment where she showed me the burnt picture, the feeling that she had at the previous appointment was way more intense and way more painful than the previous sessions, even though she did not indicate to me that it was. And yeah, all of that probably made everything a little worse at the end of the day. But I'm the professional. I'm the one tasked with my client's safety. So I do have to shoulder the blame. But from a legal aspect, am I going to be like, totes on me, girl? Nope. I'm going to accept that there was a complication. I'm going to acknowledge the complication. And then I'm going to work through to a solution to the satisfaction of both of us. I'm also, if I have to, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pull that consent form to show that she did sign off that there could be complications from getting this procedure. Complications such as blisters, burns, and hyperpigmentation. So she knew the risk going in and she weighed that and she said, sure, I'm going to go forward with this treatment regardless. So she did not go into it blindly. Like I said, when she showed me the pictures, thank God for Botox, I did not react. I didn't fall to the ground in shock like I really wanted to. I simply said, yeah, that's definitely a burn. Sadly, it can happen, but what we'll do today, of course, we're not going to treat over that area. We're going to adjust our settings to see if your skin is going to react a little better to a kind of a different approach. Like I said, I didn't treat over the hyperpigmented area that was left. I want to let that heal some more. But I did a full treatment, and I sent her on her way with instructions to please, please, for the love of God, use Aquaphor if it happens again. And y'all, I'm going to be honest with you. If it happens again, I'm done. I'm done with lasers. My settings were so mild. Like I said, I might as well have used a damn flashlight. Me just in there flashlighting away. But she did get a treatment. It was a much more conservative treatment this time. Because I was freaked the fuck out. I'm human. Sometimes I get freaked out. But it was a decent session. She's young. She's a FITS 3. I know the hyperpigmentation will fade naturally if she's patient. So I'm not super stressed about it. Just a little bit. Just a little bit in case the hesitation told you anything. I know it's going to heal. I do. I'm being a little dramatic, but my God, I can't believe she didn't call someone. Like, oi, oi, oi. Yeah. I did tell her, like, hey, if you're impatient for this process, there's things you can use to fade that a little bit quicker. And it had started to fade. It had not been long enough. You know how hyperpigmentation is. It's going to be a couple months before that fades completely. I'll also hook her up with whatever she needs to get it back to what it was without the hair. But I'm absolutely not going to panic her and make it a big deal and crawl up her ass and get her thinking, she's really doing the most. So this must be bad or this must be abnormal if she's this invested in keeping me happy. No, I'm not going to do that because what'll happen if she's that kind of person that's going to be a problem, she's going to be a problem at that point. She's going to get all the free that she can get. Now, this girl is not like that or doesn't seem to be like that. She's very nice. But yeah, you know, you just have to handle it without panicking and have your steps. Now, with this particular client, I do have several sessions left to go, so I will be able to monitor her progress and offer treatments as needed. I think she'll be just fine if we have to do some IPL on the area or if I have to give her some lightening products to get her over the PIH hurdle. How about we look at another post-procedure complication that isn't as serious as melting skin? I gotta snap out of it. Let's say that your client had an over-the-top reaction to something simple, like an enzyme. It happens all the time because enzymes are fucking beast in the treatment room that no one respects like they should. Again, make sure your client is signing a consent form, even if it is just for a facial. Bad shit happens in facials too. If something goes wrong, your client is gonna reach out. You need to have a protocol in place that you and all of your employees follow each time this happens so that you know that you're covering all of your bases every time. Ideally, that client should come in so that you can assess the damage. If they can't, or if it's after hours, instruct them. This is important. This one's important, guys. Instruct them to stand in a well-lit room. Have someone else take the picture. You need a front and you need a side profile. What they're going to do is send you a terrible picture that looks awful. All of these dimly lit, pixelated, weird angled couch selfies where they got like seven chins, it ain't it. We need to see whatever's going on in the harsh light of like a bathroom. Or turn the big light on. We don't need you posing in front of your scarf-draped lamp. Bring some light into the situation. If there is a problem, acknowledge the problem. Don't play it off. If her left eye is swollen shut, you done fucked up. Either you got enzyme in her eye or she's having an allergic reaction. Either way, it needs to be seen to. Can we prescribe as estheticians? No, of course we can't. But what we can do is lead her to the Benadryl without actually leading her to the Benadryl. You just got to play with some words. What I say is, it looks like your skin is having a slight histamine reaction to this treatment, or you can say an allergic reaction. Now, if you have a favorite medication in your cabinet that you take for those sorts of things like allergic reactions, That will also work for this reaction. And by morning, the swelling and irritation will have subsided. That's it. I didn't tell her to take Benadryl. I didn't tell her not to. Now, if in the morning her left eye is still swollen shut, you want to direct her to an urgent care or to her general practitioner. Obviously, something else is going on. Now, when there is a resolution of the problem that you have a plan what to do moving forward with that client. She might not want to come back to you, and that's fine, but always reach out again to check on their well-being, even if you know the problem is solved. So let's say Pam took the Benadryl. The next morning, you want to reach out and be like, hey, Pam, how's it going? How's your face? Blah, blah, blah. She should say it's fine. Always reach out and check on them again. Always, always, always. Now, if it's something bad, like if she actually has to go to an urgent care or she has to go to a general practitioner, refund. Don't offer it. Just send it. Send a refund. I had a client who had an allergic reaction to just, y'all was a regular old facial. Nothing. She's been a client, but something in it just did not agree with her skin. She's red. She had swelling at her eyes and her upper lip. She was really itchy. So I did my low-key suggestion of Benadryl. I apologized. I went ahead and refunded her card. And at that point, I was questioning my skills and my inherent understanding of skin, because that's what we do when shit happens, right? We question everything. A month later, I saw her name pop up on my schedule for another facial. She actually brought the money in cash and said, look, you still gave me a service. I liked it. It's just my skin didn't like it. What are you going to do? But at least I gave her the refund and we still have a good relationship going forward. It's not always going to be that way. Some clients are just dramatic. Now, if they are being dramatic and they just have like a bit of red, have a script to send to tell them via text or email. This is normal, you know, with exfoliation, this can happen, blah, blah, blah. And of course, you're not going to refund someone who's just a nervous Nelly. That's crazy talk. Why would we do that? So yeah, that is how I handle complications. Just know we all fuck up. And if someone tells you that they have never fucked up, they are lying. Yeah. Yeah. So that's it. Just make sure that basically the steps are look at the damage, see what the damage is, assess, do what you can in-house for that client that your insurance will cover. And then after the healing is over, you do want to have a plan in place to make sure that their skin goes back to the state it was in when you first started on them. And that usually is a great conflict resolution for 99% of the clients. Yeah. So hopefully that helps. Hopefully that's what you were looking for. Okay. Y'all have been asking brands and brands that I like forever, but it's so subjective, and I always dodge the question because, you know, what works for me might not work for you, or maybe you've tried it and you hated it. But after request number 9999, I'm like, what the hell? Let's talk about my favorite brands. I want to preface this with a disclaimer. Just because I like one product from a brand does not mean that I like all products from a brand. I don't like any brand completely, 100%. I can tell you that now. So what I'll do is I'll give you brand names and the products that I do like. And then you can tell me, you know, if you love them, if you hate them, if you think I'm crazy. It's okay with me. Tell me I'm crazy. Okay, let's start with my favorite brand of sunscreen. Since we are coming back to sunny days, you already know what I'm going to say. You know it. Before my voice comes through your speaker, you know it. Old, tried, and true Elta MD. I love Elta MD for my untinted sunscreen. The UV Clear, hands down, holy grail sunscreen. It applies smoothly, it absorbs quickly, does not leave a film on the skin, it does not burn, it does not sting, it does not break down, it doesn't break me out, nor does it interfere with any foundation that I have ever applied afterwards in the form of like the pilling. I hate that when products start rolling off your skin. I recommend it to all of my clients. every one of them. And I've had success with it, even on my higher fits clients, it not being chalky looking. Although I do have a sunscreen I use for them specifically because nobody wants to leave the building with a white mask on, right? But most importantly, it works. I'm telling you, it totally works. My face has remained the color of a sheet of printer paper for years now, thanks to Elta MD. Let's see, tinted sunscreen. Sadly, I don't wear tinted sunscreen anymore, but I had one that I loved. Like, I bought the back bar size of this bitch because I loved it so much. Skin Better's Sun Better. Fucking amazing tinted sunscreen. And I still, we don't sell that brand, sadly. Where I'm at, I tried, but you know, sometimes you can't win them all. But when people are looking for tinted sunscreens, I will say, go here and get this. It's great. Yeah, it's a really good tinted sunscreen. The slip is fabulous. The coverage is full. It's wonderful. I can't use it any longer. I don't know if I told you guys, but I actually had a CO2 laser resurfacing done back at the end of 2022. Yeah, I think it was the end of 22. And it must have 100% removed all pigment on my face because that tinted sunscreen, I couldn't wear it after that. It looked really dark on me and it had been perfect before. Now, all tinted sunscreens, yeah, they're too dark for me now. 100%. I feel like I've tried them all. But yeah, Skin Better, Sun Better, hands down, most complete coverage. It does not oxidize on the skin, which is a win. And I thought for the quality and the quantity, the price was great. Now, a brand you're probably going to have a hard time believing that I like because, well, it does not do a whole lot as far as reducing wrinkles or plumping the skin, blah, blah, blah. You know, all those promises brands make. I really enjoy Epion's. I know. I know. But hear me out. It's just a really good solid line. It's a great intro into medical, and I say that in quotation marks that you guys can't see. I still do it, can't help it. It has a really light, lovely scent. The textures are wonderful. It's nice packaging from the side of a professional, from our side of things. The rep, at least in our area, is amazing. She always comes through with the full-size freebies. They send a shit ton of samples with each order. Product size for retails, I feel like they're generous. They're nice size for retail. Back bar sizes are great. And they are true back bar sizes. The entire line was created by a dermatologist to repair, basically to repair and maintain the skin's barrier function. Do you know how many people need that in their life? All of them. Basically all of them need that because they're all following advice from TikTok or their uneducated injectors or their friend. They all need their barrier repaired. This is the line that I love to put new clients new clients who are new to skincare. I like to put them in the Epion's line. It's kind of a nice way for them to dip a toe in the water of good quality skincare. It's non-reactive, and I do think it's affordable in terms of medical. And again, I say that in quotes because that's just what they call themselves. But I do think it's affordable in the terms of medical. The Epion's cleanser, I've been using it for years. I love it. They're gentle. I think it's Evian's Foaming Gentle Cleanser, I think is its name. It's my go-to recommendation for 99% of my clients. It's creamy. It's foamy. It doesn't leave the skin feeling dry, but it also somehow rinses away super clean. The bottle is a good size. The retail lasts forever. I always buy it in bag bar for myself. I have one for my counter and one for my shower. And it takes a small amount to get like a good bubbly foamy cleanse going on. So it takes forever to get through the bottle. So your clients don't really notice a price as far as that goes. It also has that signature Epion smell. It's really lovely, kind of a light, slightly citrusy smell, but not overpoweringly citrus. Trust me, I'm not huge on smelly smells. Let's see, what else do they do? They also offer a solid face-friendly moisturizer in their facial lotion line. And there are three formulations. They have one for dry, normal, and for oily skin. Again, this is one that I put a lot of my clients in. I can probably put almost everyone in just the normal facial renewal lotion. It's lightweight. It has a beautiful spreadability, and one pump will normally cover the face and the neck pretty easily. This is the one brand that I enjoy sampling people in. Like I said, they're very generous in their samples, so it's no hardship on my part to sample. I've never not had a client come back and buy the retail size of whatever I sampled them in. They love it that much. From a professional standpoint, the back bar is, you know, your regular, traditional, smallish back bar. Cleansers, toners, moisturizing products. They have a mask that's nice. It also makes this particular mask makes a lovely massage medium. So I use it sometimes to massage with. It's just nice. But they don't really have anything that's active, like super truly active. And I've not had any great success with any of their lightening products, not impressed. Or their exfoliation, I say that in quotes, to products. There are better, way better, more formulated options out there for the more active portion of skincare. They also have a lovely body line. I like, really, really like their hand cream. I love their body cream. It's got a nice feel to it. Smells lovely. Okay, what else? And I know a lot of y'all hate ZO, and I think people hate them just because they're everywhere, you know, kind of like boy bands, but they have some nice things. They really do. They have some nice things in their lineup, but I'm going to tell you something. And I know a lot of y'all work with ZO. Please stop doing this. Never, ever, hear me, never, ever have your clients follow the directions on the boxes of those damn kits. The fuck are they trying to do? Are they crazy? They got these people out here using exfoliating cleanser twice a day and then exfoliating and then using the pads twice a day. No, sir. Unless your idea of glowing skin is a hot red case of dermatitis. No, it is too much. That is too much. Even for acne oily skin, that is too much. Y'all are doing too much with that. Nope. Let it heal before you peel. I personally enjoy ZO's complexion pads. It's part of my daily routine. It has been for years. I love them. Can't live without them. I do recommend them to pretty much all of my clients, even my sensitive rosacea clients. You guys know that I have rosacea. My skin is very sensitive. Never had an issue with it. Maybe right after the laser treatment, I had an issue with them, but I had just had all my skin ripped off. So, hey, I was bound to have some issues with something, right? But I do recommend them to everyone, especially the clients who are complaining about a lack of clarity. You know, the clients who come in and they always have like a dullness to their skin. This helps with that. It also helps with people who have a hard time keeping their nose clean of like sebaceous filaments and things like that. Or anyone you know who has like the dry flaky skin that just won't go away on their nose, give them the pads. They're great. The gentle cleanser is nice. You know, it's just a regular solid cleanser. I am not a fan of their exfoliating cleanser. Because it's a fucking exfoliating cleanser, you shouldn't be doing that every day. Their moisturizers are fine, but they're kind of pricey for what they are. The serums are good, but again, very pricey. And they do this one thing. Like ZO is a company. They do this one thing that a lot of skincare companies do now, and I hate it so much. They take normal ingredients that we've had with us for years, like 60 years, 100 years, And then they combine them or do some percentage of them and they call it stupid shit like Z-Core. What? Then when a client asks what's in it, you sound like a total douchebag when you say Z-Core. What is that even? Just say it's tetrapeptides. Just say that. Instead of some name a middle schooler would name his garage band. Z-Core. Stupid. It's stupid. Okay, moving on from ZO. Now I know one that you already know. SkinCeuticals. You know what I'm going to say. You know what I'm going to say before I say it. They have one product that I like. One. You know what it is. Don't make me say it. CE Ferulic. Yep. bacon smell and all. Love it. Would bathe my body in it if I could. It is the perfect pH. Formulation is magnificent. It has sun-sensitive packaging. I'm here for it. Doesn't get any better, or it hasn't yet. It might one day. And I know that you all have your favorites, like the ones that smell like oranges. It's probably not a good vitamin C. Probably not. There's a reason it smells like oranges. It doesn't work. A lot of them that you guys gush over, they have a pH that's much too high to keep the vitamin C effective and or stable. And I know some of you are sticking your little noses in the air and you're proclaiming magnesium ascorbyl phosphate is much more stable. And MAP is my go-to. Okay, cool. But stable does not equal conversion to actual vitamin C within the skin. That magic happens in a good formulation. Hence, why I'm going to stick to my bacon-smelling CE for Rillic. Mm-hmm. What else? Oh, yeah. And I know, can I get any more basic than what I'm going to say next? Tretinoin. Yep. Tretinoin is what I prefer over any retin product on the market. Any of them. Just good old tube of prescription strength goodness. That's all you need. Cheap. It is cheap. It's like $75, I think. But it is one of the most effective topicals for making your skin look younger, smoother, and overall just better. I have heard love for Skin Better's Alpha Rep products, but they carry, I'm sure they're good. It seems to be a great brand. They carry a really, really hefty price tag that a lot of, well, at least my clients, they couldn't handle, you know, that purchase price just consistently. Tret, like I said, prescription Tret is like $75 for a toothpaste size tube of Fountain of Youth cream. It's a win. Why use anything else? It's great. I wish everyone could use Tret. I really do. It's a great product. It's good for you. What's another product that you guys... Hyaluronic acid serum. Okay. I don't even want to say this one. I gotta go with one, and it's probably gonna make y'all just turn this podcast off right now. Right here. Are you ready? Avene. I ain't even kidding, y'all. Avene. They have a lovely HA serum called, what is it called? Hyaluron B3 something. Yep. Are y'all horrified at me? I know you are. Can't help it. It works. What am I going to do? I mean, what do you want me to say? It's cheap. It's readily available. It has very few ingredients. So more than likely, it's not going to be super reactive for most people. It's lovely on the skin, soaks right in. I don't like the dropper. No, we all know that how I feel about droppers. But yeah, other than that, it's a winner. It's a cheap winner. I think it's like $35. I might be underselling it, but it's cheap. I know it's cheap. It's a lot cheaper than most hyaluronic acid serums. What you guys need to understand is HA doesn't have to be elegant. It doesn't. It is a workhorse ingredient like glycerin. Its sole function is just to hang out on the skin and lure in unsuspecting moisture. All it wants is water in its clutches. So it's perfect. It's a great HA product. What can I say? But a bit of a warning. Some people are a little bit sensitive to niacinamide. I'm seeing more people actually being sensitive to niacinamide. And as the name suggests, because, you know, B3, some people can have a reaction to the niacinamide in the formulation. So just keep that in mind. If niacinamide is not for you, then that is not an HA for you. But yeah, there you go. Now that's all I'm going to do brand-wise because we could go on and on and on. If you want, I might try it out some more. Y'all let me know if you want me to comment on a product or a brand that you are interested in. Message me or email me at estheticianontheedge@yahoo.com. I'll see what I can do. If I have experience with the brand, I'll of course tell you my opinion on it for whatever that matters to you. Okay. Okay. I got a question for all of my peeps out there that have been slanging lasers for years. One question. What the hell is wrong with people? Have they no sense of self-preservation? I mean, I can't be the only one with clients who don't want to hear that they are not good candidates for a certain laser, right? Right? It can't be just me. I'll tell you when this really started being a problem. Our practice purchased an IPL machine early last year. And y'all know how it goes. A trainer will come out and they do didactics and then they do a hands-on and then you do models until you feel good. And then they let you loose to burn total strangers. Now, our client base is a bit more on the mature side. They were interested in the photo facial aspect of an IPL, but they had no interest, zero interest beyond that. So our practice manager, in all of his wisdom, decided he wanted to utilize more of the machine. Like, he wanted to try to find a subset of people that wanted it for hair removal. So in his infinite wisdom, he turned to Groupon. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And decided that he was going to do a ridiculously priced, like, you might as well just give it away price on Groupon. And we had people crawling out of the woodwork to buy these damn dumbass packages. Can you tell I'm still salty about it? I am. Okay. Anyway, we pretty much have an established clientele. So when they come in, we know them, their likes, their dislikes, what their skin likes, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we've got all these new unfamiliar people coming in for consults. I've got no history with them. So every new name that pops up is basically an adventure. Sometimes a good adventure, sometimes not. Now, I have noticed an extremely alarming trend with the IPL, with the clients who want the IPL. They don't care if I fuck them up. Now, if you work with lasers, you know, even if you don't, you probably know how IPL works, right? Targets pigment in the follicle, heats it up. Hopefully you kill it. So for it to work, the skin needs to be a pretty light tone and the hair needs to be a much darker tone. That way the laser knows what it's hitting. Yeah? Yeah? You got me? Okay. If it's not, this is what happens. The device will legit, this is no, I'm not shitting you. It will pull the pigment from the skin instead. So your client will be left with these little squares or rectangles that are the exact size of the aperture that the energy comes through. Now, you don't even have to burn them to mess them up. You can have it in a safe setting, not burning them, and it's still going to pull pigment because it is trying to find dark color, right? It's so terrifying that I have a collection of scary pictures that I show clients to get my point across. This is what's going to happen to you if you don't follow my advice. And I do this in consults. If my client coming in for a consult is a FITS 4 or darker, hell, I even show the ones that are more olive toned. Hey, this is a possibility because you tan really easily. I want to be as transparent as possible because I do not want to do this to someone. And it does happen. I have seen it happen. It happens. Sometimes that color, it will never come back, or it could take a year or more for it to even out. Most of the time, it's never the same color. It's awful. I want you to guess how many people want to argue with me about still moving forward with the service. No shit, 7 out of 10. 7 out of 10 people will argue with me, and I am dead serious. I even had one woman tell me that the loss of pigment, it happened to her already. It happened on her legs, and that it took a year or more for it to come back. But she was coming to me for an IPL bikini hair reduction, and she thought her bikini would be okay. The color wouldn't pull from there. I'm sorry. What? No, 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 ma'am. Bye. Bye. And it's not like I just kick them out the door. You know, I commiserate with them. I know they want this hair gone. I would love to work on them. Most of them are as sweet as they can be, but delusional on what I can do. I always tell them, go find yourself an indie yag. Like, don't let somebody IPL you. Please don't. Please don't. But yeah, that price is just so good. Like, it's so cheap. They snatch that offer up and they don't want to be told no. I had a woman almost cry because I showed her the pictures. She didn't want to miss out on the great price. She didn't care. She said she wanted to try it. And I told her, okay, that's fine, but we require a patch test. So I'm going to do 4 shots in an area and you're going to wait 7 days and then we'll see what happens. And she was scared to do the patch test because she didn't want to look like the pictures. What? Lady, I'm sorry, ma'am, No one is requiring you to get this laser service. You do not have to do this. Like, but you do have to get the patch test if we're going to move forward, because I need to know what's going to happen. It's insane to me that people are willing to just walk around with their pigment gone in squares for a deal. Like, crazy pants. Crazy. I had a guy come in for a consult for his neck, like the front of the neck. You know, a lot of guys want like that stupid, it's not stupid, just because I don't like it. I have to quit saying stuff like that. He wanted like that snatched beard line, you know what I mean? Like just really, really straight on. Sure, whatever, let's do it. But he was a solid fits five, like a solid fits five. And I felt bad for this poor guy because he had wasted an afternoon traveling 60 miles in bad traffic for me to disappoint him. But he did not want to hear no. He could not comprehend that I was not going to do the service for him. He was pissed. Even with me showing him pictures, because I had a fits five. Like I try to make sure I have every fits so that I can show them this is what can happen. But even seeing the pictures, he said to me, my skin won't do that. Yeah, it will. It will. It will 100% do that. My doctor has given me permission to basically tell anybody they can't be serviced. So I wasn't concerned about being forced to do the service, but I'm concerned the lengths people will go to for a fucking deal. What? No. Spend the money. Get a laser that's not going to fuck you up. Like, don't be an idiot. I don't know what devices you guys use, but the people who manufacture our device, they actually say that we can service the darkest of dark skin tones safely without an issue. But science and our insurance writer says that no, you can't. You best not if you want to keep your insurance. I also have a problem with tanners and people with self-tanner. People come in all the time with self-tanner and they want me to do IPL treatments. And I'm like, dude, we talked about this. Like, we can't do that. It's going to burn you. I don't know. Everyone thinks that they have this magic skin that won't be affected. I hear it all the time. My skin's tough. Okay, well, it's going to be like burnt leather tough when I fuck you up. It's just insane to me. IPL, the people that are doing IPL out there, please tell me. Are y'all dealing with kamikaze clients too that have a death wish? This is just me. I feel like I'm just out here crushing everyone's dreams of a bald mound left, right, and center. I haven't been in the med spa. Well, how long have I been there? 2 years-ish? Yeah. But still, it amazes me what laser clients will do. Amazes me. Yeah. It can't be just our practice. Let me know if you guys have this same issue. Let me know how you quit having this issue, if you've quit having this issue. I'd love to hear that one. Hopefully, we're done with our Groupon stuff. Yeah, that's probably the biggest issue, right? Yep. Okay, I went back in the vault for our scroll through some emails and found a Pam of the Week, believe it or not. And our Pam of the Week is brought to you by an injector. Mm-hmm, that's right. Injectors listen to... And this injector says, please don't tell anyone my name. I need every client I can get in this market, even the crazy ones. And you know HIPAA. Yep, girl, I got you. In our business, we also get what you estheticians call PAMs. I work at a med spa. And the crazy IC could fill a book. Patients bringing in syringes of mystery goo, wanting us to inject it into their lips because they think it'll get them a discount. Patients who think 20 units of Botox will cover their entire face and are furious when I explain it won't. And I say 20 units because we run a 20-unit special from time to time. So it's always specifically 20-unit anger. That's what we call baby Botox. What do you guys call that? 20 units is like baby Botox. She goes on to say, I had this one patient. This woman has been a regular at our place for going on 4 years. She is a 20 unit only client, but always tries to get more units for free by saying things like she feels like her brow has dropped or we created a wrinkle that she's never had before. And sadly, our manager lets her get away with it because the woman is a force in our community and we can't afford to be on her bad side. Rumor has it she ran a clothing boutique out of business when they wouldn't accept her return. The return was not from the clothing boutique. So this lady always ends up getting another 10 or so units and our time for free. And as you might have guessed, she's wealthy. She just likes to get free stuff. So don't think just you guys have to deal with Pams in the world. Us injectors are over here doing it too. Why is it always people with money trying to get free stuff? Why? You can afford it. Maybe that's why they're rich though, right? I do hate bullies though. Hate bullies. Run her over with your car. Okay, that's all the time I have for today. Hopefully, I can't promise, but hopefully it won't be another year or two before I record another show. If you guys have topics you'd like to hear about, or you just want to tell me that you hate the sound of my voice, you hate my accent, or you hate my podcast, please feel free to drop me a line or message on any of my socials or at estishontheedge@yahoo.com. Thank you guys for listening and hanging in there. And as always, wishing you a Pam-free week. See you next show.